Well, open your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Just want to key in on two verses here. Everybody there? Here's some pages. Verse 9 of Galatians 6 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, in verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary." You know, God puts that in there because we could be tempted or find the occasions to grow weary, couldn't we? And he's just telling us, don't do that, because it is going to present itself to you. And I want to talk to you tonight about not growing weary. You know, finish your course. Finish strong. Don't let the enemy derail you because you're growing weary. You know, when we first get born again, things are pretty exciting and everything's new and we're learning. But you know, as you get along in the journey, how many know that Jesus said this in his word, that you'll have tribulation? And I just encourage you not to tribulate. Know that you're getting through it. Bible says he leads us into victory, but you got to follow him. And so don't grow weary through this journey when things come against you, because they're coming against you. But just have heart. Know that God's got the answers for you. He's already got the tracks laid out for you, so to speak, and you just need to follow them. And along those tracks, be assured that God isn't going to abandon you. He's not leaving you. He said in his word, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." So we can take that to the bank, so to speak, that God's always with us. And, you know, when I talk with people and they're going through problems and, you know, they lay it all out, it seems quite frequently that people think God's abandoned them and he's left them in the mess. And that's not so. And so I'll just bring them around. And I say, well, you know, have you considered what God says about this? Have you looked at his word? And, well, no, I'm too busy dealing with the mess. I said, but here's the answers is right here in the word. And so Paul was writing to the Galatians here, and he says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season. There's a due season for every one of us. Say, I have a due season. And we're in different seasons of our lives, but for every situation that you're in, there is a due season, and God's got that all laid out. But we need to be faithful to him and to follow him, so that we don't try to get off on our own way. You know, I was reading over in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not onto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. See, he's given us that instruction. In everything, give him that place. Even young people that are in school, give him that place. He can help you to ace your tests. And that's not cheating. He wants you, he says, we've got the mind of Christ. How about we use the mind of Christ? How about, let's just take the example of somebody in school. If you never study, you're not giving God much to work with. You know, we can't expect God to give us all the answers. He's given us and he's done everything he's going to do, but now we have to learn to cooperate with him. And the way we cooperate with him is by faith. Faith is simply our response to his word, trusting him with all our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, acknowledging him in the situations of our life, and then doing what his instruction is. Obedience is key to living victoriously as a Christian. Amen. I'll repeat that. Obedience is key to living victorious. Now, if you don't want to live in victory, well, then you can do things your own way. But God says you'll have the victory. I'll lead you into victory. We're already more than conquerors. We're already more than, conquerors, and we've overcome, 1 John chapter 5. Who is he that's overcome the world? Those that, by our faith. Let's just turn there. Hold your place in Galatians. We're coming back. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. It's our faith that takes us into that victory. God's prepared the victory for you. How many know that God had already prepared the victory for David when he went up against that giant? That was the weirdest thing. You know, he, a little boy, ruddy little thing, slingshot with a couple little stones, and he's taken out a giant. All the warriors were afraid of this guy. And so God had that all laid out. David just needed to listen to him. And what did David say? He said, God's already given me victory over the bear and over the lion. I mean, lion will rip you apart, but didn't happen to David because God gave him the victory. So David already knew. He already knew God. He had relationship with God. He wasn't fearful of some uncircumcised Philistine. He said, you don't have covenant. You don't have covenant with my God. My God is the God. And so he was not fearful. And so he ran, if you read that story, we're not going to look at it in detail, but he ran towards Goliath. That's a little hint for you in your life. Don't run away from your problems. Face them head on with the Word of God. Face them head on with the Spirit of God leading you, guiding you, showing you what to do, what to say. He'll give you strategies. Maybe you're a businessman. He'll give you strategies on how to overcome the situation. Look, just because we go into a recession doesn't mean your company has to. Whose God do you serve? Who do you serve? God's a big God, and he'll take care of those. He'll take care of those who are obedient and who are faithful. Now, he's always there with you, but when you're not obedient, you're turning your back on him, and that's really a prideful situation when you say, well, I can do it without God. That's going into pride. That's not a good place to be, amen? All right, so back to Galatians. Let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. You will get your breakthrough. It's on its way. Problem is too many people get three-quarters of the way, 90% there, then they give up, say, it's taken too long. You know, it's been 3 weeks, God. Where's my answer? You know, we've got to allow God to be God, because a lot of times he works on the hearts of other people, and that has to play out before you get your answer. You know, we're believing for musicians to come in. You know, we need a bass guitar player to rock out with that loves God and worships God. And so, but that person is already been called. Well, he just hadn't got here. Might be a she, I don't know. But they're coming. I said they're coming. Because we've already laid the tracks for that, and we're believing for that. And God is faithful to his word, amen? And so they're on their way. All right, turn with me over to Psalm 91. We're pretty familiar with that passage of scripture. How many know Psalm 91? It's kind of like the scripture we always read before we go to camp and before we go on a trip. And, you know, God, you know, cover us here. But I just want to look at it and pull out a few things. Starts off verse 1. A lot of people have it committed to memory. But it doesn't matter if you remember it or not. It matters if you do it. Because in verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. But notice in verse 1, he who dwells. You have to dwell there. That's, you see, Christianity is not, it's not an event. You know, you got saved, you got born again, and then that's it. Okay, I've got my ticket to heaven. No, it's you get changed, transformed, and you have a lifestyle now, and abiding with God is where we need to be. Abiding with him, listening to him, getting to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to somebody recently, and, you know, they're going through some situations, and they kept telling me, well, I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm doing everything I know to do. I said, but have you got God involved? And it was almost like they were too busy to get God involved. And I noticed it was all about what they were doing. I said, well, it's obvious. I didn't say this, but it's obvious what they're doing isn't working. It was real clear. So I said, well, you know, have you been getting into the Word every day? No, no. He said, well, here's problem number one. Here's problem number one. But anyway, they were having some problems, but they weren't letting God get involved and seeking Him to let Him give them the answers. They were trying to work it out. It's almost like going back under the law and trying to work out your own salvation by keeping the law. It's impossible. You can't do that. The law was never designed to make you righteous so you could go to heaven. It was designed to drop you to your knees and say, God, I can't do all this. And He says, come here, come here. I sent Jesus. Jesus is your Savior. And so we're thankful that we have that and we don't have to go back. Here's another just little bit of wisdom here. Don't look back either. You might have had some real rough upbringing. Might have had some rough times in your life. Don't look back on them. Why? Because the enemy wants to talk to you about them. He wants to tell you how bad you messed up. He's good at making you feel ashamed and guilty, and he wants you to beat yourself up. If he can get you into that place, he's got you in his territory. God's already forgiven you. You need to accept God's goodness through Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and your sins are forgiven. And then don't look back. Paul had to say, I don't look back. Paul was, you know, he was a persecutor. He was a great Pharisee. You know, he was such a religious guy. And he hated when these Christians, when they came along, said, no, that can't be right. He was persecuting them. He had authority to have them put into prison, men and women, and even executed. And then God, he has an encounter with God, and God just rocks his world, doesn't he? And now Paul is chief example of showing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he paid the price. He got persecuted heavily for it. But we have Jesus to thank that we don't have to go through what Paul went through. You know, we don't have to go to the cross. God only asked Jesus to go, and he went willingly. Amen. So he who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I want to key in on that for a minute. I will say of the Lord. What you say, what comes out of your heart, that's what you believe. And so that's how your life is going to go. It's predominantly by the words you speak. Your tongue is a rudder of your life, and it directs your life. And so when we get a hold of God's word and allow it to be directed by his word, our life works out. We get through those situations. We still have them, but we get over them without being scathed, without being beat up and coming dragging into the finish line. No, we go across the finish line. We get the gold. You know, God's never called us to prepare for the silver medal. No, if he leads us into victory, there's only one victor. If you're in Christ, that's you. So we're all victors because of his victory. Amen? All right, I want to give you a few nuggets to help you to finish strong and to not grow weary through this journey. Because there's a lot of times when we're, I just want to sit down. I have people tell me, I just don't want to come to church anymore. I just want to rest. You kidding me? Resting out there is not where you want to rest. At least come in here and sit down. We got comfortable seats. Rest here. Where you're hearing the word of God, where you're building up your faith. Don't stay out there and rest. There's no rest out there for you. That's a lie of the enemy. He wants to come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to mess up your life. Not just mess it up. He wants to take you out. So we don't want to run away from God. When we're going through stuff, run to God. He's got our answers. He's the one that's got our answers. So don't run away from God. So, okay, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to, because you don't remember but 10% of what's said. So the very 10% or the very 2% that you need, you might forget it. So write it down. I know when I went to school, I didn't like taking notes, but I realized that if I was going to do good on the test, I better go back and look at my notes, because that's what the professor, that's what the instructor said, and you don't remember it all. Man, they can talk a mile a minute, you know? So anyway, number one, what was it? I didn't tell you. All right, you're paying attention. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. That's the key to living in the kingdom, the word of God. Over and over and over. Let's just run over to Luke chapter 8. Jesus said this. How many believe what Jesus said? And this is when he was teaching about the kingdom and kingdom principles. He was teaching actually about sowing and the parable of the sower. And in verse 11, well, I'm going to back up. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, "To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this, verse 11, "The seed is the word of God." So now he's not talking in parables anymore, he's explaining what the parable means. And he's saying that the seed that is sown, and he's talking about the four different grounds that it could be sown on, and it's talking about man's heart. Well, woman, man, talking about species man. And so the seed is the word of God. So stay with the word. Remember, Jesus was the word before he came as baby Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's John chapter 1, verse 1. And so he was God the word. Remember when over in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our image, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But Jesus wasn't Jesus then. He was God the Word. He's been with the Father. He's been with the Spirit. We can't even comprehend it because time didn't come into being until later on. He goes back infinity. But think of it this way. We're going to live for eternity, aren't we? So it's not going to go out 1,000 years and then your life is going to cut off, or 1 billion years. We're going to keep living. And so that kind of helps you to see that God's always been living the other direction. But anyway, so maybe when we get get to heaven, maybe we'll be able to comprehend that. But I don't know about you. My head goes tilt thinking about there was never time. It just didn't exist because it's always been. That's just too big for us in our finite minds. But anyway, stay with the word. 2 Timothy, turn over there with me. This will help you to not grow weary and faint or give up. That's what that means, literally. Don't grow weary and give up. How many have ever known anybody that's given up? I mean, over my lifetime, I can remember, you know, people that I went to church with in Sunday school, and years later I found out, well, they just turned their backs on God and they just went a different direction, you know? But God doesn't want us to do that. Amen. So in 2 Timothy, we find, starting in verse 16, all scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's breathed by God, and it is profitable. Say, God's word is profitable. Now, he gave us his word for our benefit. He didn't write the book for him to read every night because he didn't have anything to read. He gave us his word for us, and he says it's profitable. So that right there, if God says it's profitable, you should have an interest in reading it. He said it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We don't like to hear that one, but you know what? When we get off, we can find our correction in the word. Look, God, some people have, for years have believed that, you know, well, God just, he'll put sickness on you to teach you something. That's not Bible. That's not God. That's not the God I know. No, he said right here, all scripture that's given by God is for correction. That's how God corrects us, is by his word. That was just a little free nugget there. For instruction in righteousness. Again, scripture is for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we started out in Galatians 6, and he said, don't grow weary and faint so that we might do the good works. So here again, he's showing that the instruction from his word is going to help you to become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, how many know we're still in transition here, or not transition, but we're still growing in the Lord. We're still growing in the word. None of us have arrived. We're all at different places. And for the person that just gets saved, they're just, eyes are just open to how much God loves them and that he died for them and that he made a way for them. And so that's what they know. That's the realm of what they know. But then we see in Romans 12, verse 2, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so that's done by the word of God. So that's just another scripture that would show you to stay with the word of God. And then lastly, we're just going to look at Proverbs 4 to help you kind of nail this home. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Again, this is God instructing us to give attention to his word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So I see four instructions right here that God's given us regarding his word, what we're to do with it. We're to hear it. We're to keep it before our eyes. We're supposed to give attention to it, and then we're supposed to keep it in the midst of our heart. And he goes on to explain why. For they, he's talking about his word is life to those who find them. That's just as important as Psalm 91 that says, he who dwells. You have to dwell to get the benefits of Psalm 91. You have to find the word of God because it's what? It's life. God's word is life. That's where life comes from. And it's health to all their flesh. So you can find in here, that's a healing scripture. You could find healing in the word of God and apply it to your life by faith, and you'll get healed. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Why does he tell us to keep our heart? Now, this was written a long time ago. How many know that there's a lot of things coming at us and vying for our time? Social media is crazy big with tweets and Facebooks, and they're just still coming up with stuff. And so it's all designed for information highway going in and coming out. And so God wants his word to be that information highway, because the world doesn't have the answers to your situation. God knows they've tried. We've seen they've tried. So we need to go back to God's word. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The issues of life come right out of the word of God. So guess what? When you put the word of God in your heart and you allow it to be transformed in your heart and you believe it and receive it and then activate it by faith, it works for you. God's word is alive, over in Hebrews 4:12. Matter of fact, let's just look at that quickly, because I love the Amplified, how it shows us how powerful God's word is. This isn't just some book that, churchgoers look at. This is your life manual. You get a new car, you look at the owner's manual. My goodness, those things are getting thicker because of all the technology and the computers and stuff in them. You get a new lawnmower, guys, and this is a manual that shows you, you don't even know where stuff is because they're building them so different now. But anyway, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, remember we're talking about the word, it's living and powerful. This is not just ink on paper. This is alive. This will change your life and transform your life. It's living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, it's the Amplified that I was making reference to. For the word that God speaks, for the word that God speaks. Is this God's word that he speaks? Absolutely. Guess what? When you hook up with it and you speak it, now it becomes real to you. You have to appropriate it. It's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. That's what the Word of God will do for you. And so when we're on this journey called life, and we're tempted to get weary, to grow weary, to want to sit down, to want to give up, it's too hard. No, get more of the Word on the situation, and you'll see God do miracles in your life. God's still a miracle working God. You just have to, all things are possible to him who believes. God's called us to be believers. Believe what he says. Put it into action. You had to do that when you got born again. You had to hear how God loved you, how he sent his son and died for you. He goes on to say here, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of the life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. So God's word can penetrate into our hearts, into our minds, our soulish realm. God's word is effective in our mind. God's word is active, activated in our mind, and it's activated by us speaking it. We get the word in, and then we agree with him, and we say, by the stripes that Jesus bore, I am healed. I am healed because I was healed. You see, God did all the healing 2,000 years ago. He said, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. If you got problems, you know, with thoughts in your mind, you know, you feel like you're oppressed, or maybe gotten to the place where you're depressed and the doctors have given you drugs to try to help you, know that God's already taken care of that situation. Jesus bore that chastisement on him so that we would go free from it. When you get that revelation and you appropriate it to your life, you'll go free instantly. You don't have to be down, even though the doctor's report might say, well, you're beyond hope. Your case is worse. You know, and how many know the devil will oblige and try to tell you, your case is just so bad, we've never seen one this bad. Never seen one this bad. Well, I remember that little girl when my daughter was 12 years old and her friend had leukemia. Well, we didn't know what it was. She collapses. She ends up in Dartmouth Hospital, and they told her parents she's got 3-4 weeks to live. It was that quick. Well, I was just coming into the things of God, and wait a minute, Jesus is healed. Well, maybe the doctors can't fix her. They could only do so much. We keep her alive for a month. But then after that, it's, you know, pick out the casket. Well, we didn't settle for that. My 12-year-old daughter didn't settle for that. I said, Katie, we need to go over there and see her and get her out of there. We were on a mission. And we did. We went in and we told Tammy, we're not here to visit you. We made it clear. We're not here to visit. We're here to get you healed. We're here to get you out of here. And she couldn't really speak. She just nodded. And I didn't know a whole lot of scriptures. I knew that by the stripes Jesus bore, she was healed. I knew Mark 16, that if you lay hands on the sick, I'd never done it. I think she was the first one, maybe the second one. And so we just said, Lord, we're just being obedient to you, is what we said. We came all the way over here, 2-hour drive. We're being obedient to you because this little girl needs help. And we believe God. And not the next day, but the day after that. The doctors, they tested. They got more doctors testing her because they couldn't find it anymore. And that's kind of embarrassing because they said she's going to die. And now she's got no leukemia showing. Her blood is perfect. And she comes home. Praise God. Now, you know, she's 33 years old now and a mother of two and out living out in Phoenix, Arizona. Just because the word has power, it's effective, it's active. But we dared, as you know, I was had childlike faith. This is, well, Katie's 33 now, so 21 years ago? My math is right. 21, 22? Somewhere around there. It's a long time ago. And I was just getting a hold of this. And I've been going with it since. God doesn't let people down. He honors faith. Because that's the way he created it. That's the way he designed it. If he had said, you just got to throw a football like Tom Brady, well, we'd all be in trouble. But he didn't. Thank God he said you can have childlike faith. And it'll move mountains. Amen. All right, so stay with the word of God. Number two, quickly here. Another nugget to help you finish strong. Keep your prayer life strong. Don't back off spending time with God. I know sometimes you get busy in the day and it's like, when am I going to do this? And look, I've done that. The day doesn't turn out anywhere near what I wanted it to when I don't acknowledge the Lord. But when you do, he can create time for you, so to speak. He'll get you all your errand list done in half the time if you just spend time with him. No, it isn't. Doesn't seem possible humanly, but he could do it. He could get you in the bank line where you don't have to be in a line. And, you know, normally if you go in on a certain day, there's like 10 people in line. And wouldn't you know, people just took their break and now you got to wait. Has that ever happened? It just did to me at the bank. It wasn't your bank. She's a banker. But anyway, just happened to me. It's just like, oh, they just put the thing up and they go on break. It's just like now there's one person. And it's like all the people come in at that time. It's like, anyway, change banks. Yeah. Put a plug in for your bank. Anyway, your prayer life. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. Just a couple of scriptures here that God has put in here. He dropped them in here just for us tonight. Isn't that pretty cool of him? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I think it is. Nope, chapter 5. Verse 16 starts off saying, rejoice always. You know, that's always a good way to start your prayer time. Thanking God. You know, we're coming into Thanksgiving and truly we need to be thankful all year round. But when we go to God in prayer, don't just go with I got my grocery list of things I need from you, God. You know, that's not the kind of relationship he wants with us. You know, guys, you know, if you're married, that's not what your wife wants. It's just a grocery list. I mean, she gives you to-do lists. I get them all the time because my wife is a list person. And it's my honey-do list. And it's like, I got to get all these things done. But anyway, we shouldn't approach God that way. We should approach him first. Rejoice always. Now, it does say pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we start praying tonight and we don't stop praying until we die. That's not what it means. It just means don't grow weary and give up on praying. Create what works for you for a prayer life, a prayer time. You know, I pray a lot in the car. You know, I don't put the radio on. I used to years ago, but I use that now as prayer time. You know, yeah, people look at you funny when they pull up beside you and you're talking and there's nobody else in the car. But anyway, I see that happen anyway. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. See, it is God's will that we return thanks to him. It is God's will that we rejoice. It is God's will that we, and you know, don't get hung up on the word pray. Just talking to God. Talk to him like, you know, and you create a relationship with him and you'll hear him talk to you. And that's when it gets really cool. Amen. All right. Philippians 4:6. Another prayer scripture. Almost time to see my bookbinder again. My pages are coming loose. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is again, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can't put a price on the peace of God in our minds. With the way things are going on in this world today, things are crazy. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I said, I can't imagine somebody not knowing God and going through life today. It's just so off-the-wall crazy. But here he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's prayer time. Amen. All right. Thirdly and lastly, when things seem to get to the place where they're too hard and you don't think you can make it and you're growing weary, remember that the Spirit of God lives inside of you and He wants to guide you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. But we've got to do the acknowledging first. Of course, God knows what's going on in your life, but He wants you to acknowledge Him. He hasn't left you or forsaken you. He's right there with you, but He wants you to talk with Him. He wants you to talk with Him. And so, number three is be led by the Spirit of God. John 16. We're going to close here in just a minute. Jesus said this in John chapter 16. He said, verse 12, I've still got many things to say, but you can't bear them right now. He's talking to His disciples. However, verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, so this was before the Holy Spirit came, but He's come now, He will guide you into some truth? No, all the truth. So if you need truth on a matter, let's say you're in business and some legal situation comes up, you need to know the truth on that thing. The Holy Spirit already knows the answer. Matter of fact, one of His job titles is advocate. He's the best lawyer that ever existed or ever will exist. So He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Who's He hearing it from? The Father. It's the same that Jesus said in John 6:38. I didn't come down from heaven to do my own will, but I came down to do that which the Father has. So they're all in agreement. You never find the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit out of agreement. Full congruency. And so here, He says, whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you things to come. Are there things you need to know in your life? Absolutely. He'll glorify Me, verse 14, for He'll take of what is Mine and declare it to you. That's revelation knowledge right there. God wants you to be in the know. He wants you to know what's going on in your life. He's been thinking about you, Jeremiah 29:11. He had thoughts about you, but He created plans. He created detailed blueprints for your life and for my life. And so we need to find out what they are and then get with His plan. His plan's already blessed. His plan's already got all that you need, and it's all designed specifically for you. He's got people for you to reach, to be His mouthpiece, to reach for Jesus Christ that only you can reach. You're the one that's designed to be at the right place at the right time, speaking the right things. That's why on Sunday I was talking about, when we leave, to find somebody to bless this week. And that doesn't mean just in a material thing. Just the right words being spoken to them could just change their life. I've heard stories where, people were so destitute, they were considering taking their own lives. And then somebody called them. Phone rings and somebody called and said, I was just thinking about you, brother, and whatever. And they had thoughts that the enemy had put in there to try to destroy their lives. So don't, when you're prompted, if a person's name comes to your mind, don't ignore that. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Now, number one, you could pray for them, but you know what? You could talk to them. You could go see them if that's within reason. I mean, if they're in China, that might be a little difficult. But, and especially if that name comes up more than once. Because sometimes we're quick to just push aside things because we're in a hurry and life is busy and I got my own problems. But if you find that you start hearing a person's name in your heart, three, four times and, throughout the week, act on that. Ask God what He wants you to do about it. But He's trying to communicate to you, amen? He's leading you. That's what I'm talking about here, being led by the Spirit. Is that my alarm? We're about 2 minutes over. So anyway, I just want to encourage you that God's already given us all the tools that we need to continue our journey in life without growing weary and without fainting, without giving up. You could probably think of somebody right now that needs a word of encouragement because they've been worn down. They've been beat down. They're tired. You know, maybe people have come against them and you know who that is. I'd encourage you, call them this week. Go see them this week. God wants you to help others. See, it's not just about us. This message is not just for us. It's for us to do something with it and be the voice piece of God and help other people. Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet? We'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. We thank you for your grace, that unmerited, undeserved favor, but you loved us so much that you made it come to us and abound toward us. So we thank you, Father. We're grateful for your great love. Father, as we come into this Thanksgiving season, I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice would truly let you know how thankful they are for all the blessings that you've given them. And Father, to put people in our path, I'm asking you to do that. Put people in our path this coming week that we could minister to, that we could share the love of God, the love of Christ, and the goodness of God. How good you are, Father. You are a good, good God, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we bless your name tonight. And Father, I just invoke a blessing over these people that came out tonight, that you would just move mightily on their hearts tonight as they had ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for coming out tonight. I believe you're truly blessed and highly favored.